In this episode of the Self-Development Podcast, I interview YouTuber The Philosophical Misfit to get his top secrets for how to become good at YouTube in 2019. We talk about mindset, how to find your niche, as well as we get into the nitty-gritty of how to make really good titles, get good thumbnails, and have a good hook at the beginning to make people want to listen. So stick around till the end because there is a lot of value in this episode. All right, welcome back to the Self-Development Podcast. Today, I am with Nate, aka The Philosophical Misfit. And today, we wanted to give you just a quick 10-minute overview of, or maybe longer, maybe shorter, who knows, but a quick overview of what it's like to kind of start a YouTube channel and to thrive in that. So, Nate, thank you for coming on the show. And could you just explain a little bit about what your YouTube channel is about real quick?
Yeah, so YouTube channel is called The Philosophical Misfit, and it's pretty much exactly what you would think when you see a name like that. It's about embracing not being in the norm, not fitting in, and really questioning everything. And that has to do with the philosophy, but also a lot of spiritual, philosophical topics are talked about that can be seen as taboo or things that, you know, people don't generally talk about. It's definitely not surface level conversation. It's definitely diving deep into the mysteries of life and the mystery of the universe. And so I just create a place for people to ask those questions and for the people to the people that don't feel like they fit in, the misfits of society. I like to create a place where people can come and enjoy some content. So
yeah, that's awesome. And I have been a part of his community for a while now, and especially in his live chats, he's created a really kind of a niche area in those chats for people to be able to just talk about spirituality, religion, philosophy, metaphysics, all kinds of stuff. And it's a very open environment. So it's pretty cool what you're doing. Could you talk for a second about the more technical side of how did you set up your YouTube channel? What kind of, is there like a specific microphone you recommend, or just kind of the nuts and bolts of how to run a YouTube channel? And before you answer that, I'll explain one more thing. With the Self-Development Podcast, one of the things I really believe is that success in life is really 50% psychology and 50% tactics. So we could go into some of the psychology of it in a minute, but tactically, what have you found helpful with YouTube?
Yeah. So so you're saying tactically, like what you say, what have I found helpful, or like what have I done tactically to start it? So the things that I've done to start it, just like off the top of my head, I mean, I am a very, like, I don't think at all that in order to have a successful YouTube channel, you need to have the best equipment, or you need to have just like, you need to be the best editor. You know, all these things will come with practice. I mean, first and foremost, you know, if you want to make it as a content creator, you have to put content out. And so if you're not putting content out consistently, then just, you know, that's the first thing to, you know, obviously there's a couple of steps before that, but then once you get those couple other steps about, like, you know, what your channel, what's the theme of your channel, what your channel's mainly going to be about, the audience that you want to speak to and go for. And really the easiest thing that I've found regarding that for me personally, now there's several other YouTube channels that out there that are huge that don't do this, but for me, it's been vlogging and sharing my thoughts. And I find that there's actually also a lot of incredibly, you know, popular YouTube channels that it's a specific niche because it is just their personality, and people all around the world resonate with their personality. And really, I mean, here's a psychology part of it, is you have to come into the belief system that you are worth being invested into. The vlogs, the content that you make, you got to believe in yourself in order for other people to believe in you. And so, like, for me, it's been a total just me embracing who I am. And as I'm embracing who I am with the content that I make, just because I'm a super deep person, I my life story and things like that. I've been a misfit most of my life, and I just always like, I've never been one for surface level conversation. I just like talking about the depths of thinking, whether that be theology, philosophy of religion, metaphysics, physics, all of that. And so it's just things that I love, and that I'm like, I like to research this stuff and I want to share it with the world. And so it's like me learning that about myself was like step one, because it took me a long time to get to that. Cause I was like, maybe I want my YouTube channel to be about this because there's a huge crowd for this. And so I'm going to do this. And then I start doing it and I'm like, wait a minute, I don't actually like doing this. Okay. So I'm going to try this. And then, maybe this will be my YouTube channel. Cause at first, if you watch like the first video I ever uploaded, it was like a poem. And I thought I was going to make a YouTube channel where I was going to make a spoken word poem every single week with my music behind it. And that's not at all what my channel turned into. And so I did that, and then I did like a short film, and then I tried like straight up just strict motivational stuff, which I'm like, I have a couple of motivational videos on my channel, but I don't they're not all motivational anymore, because I opened up myself like to more of my life story and who I am, and just growing up as a pastor's kid and now being more of an agnostic, and just like, so, and there's plenty of other people that think like me or that have gone through the same type of thing. And so me and fully embracing who I am and my story is what's actually grown my YouTube channel more and more. And so, like I said, the technical parts of it, other than the psychology of it, is like, I legit, if you go and look at the videos on my YouTube channel, no joke, I have filmed everything on my iPhone, and the mic that I have used on my YouTube channel, it's called the Boya microphone, and it cost me $12.
Wow.
And I have 50,000 subscribers, and I have not filmed on anything other than my iPhone and using that Boya microphone. So it's possible. It is completely possible to hardly spend any money at all and still be able to make it on YouTube. And some of the videos that I have on YouTube are really cinematic. And people, ask me, what camera did you use for this and that? And I have an app on my phone called Filmic Pro that I film everything on, that makes everything look super, high-tech quality and, cinematic. And so you don't need crazy. I can't afford that crazy of equipment. And, if you're at the point where you're like, well, I'm not going to do this unless I have good equipment, like, you might as well just stop now, because that's just an excuse. Do with what you have.
Yeah.
If you got an iPhone, film on the iPhone. If you want to do a podcast and you don't have a mic and you don't have all this kind of stuff, record it on your iPhone and upload it to your computer, then upload that. Like, it's you got to start somewhere, and you got to start busting out content, because consistency is key. I mean, this is everything that you've heard before.
So what is your level of consistency? Like, what do you do? Is it once every week, once every 2 weeks? What's your schedule?
So I, at the very least, do once a week. But I want to, at some point, it's a goal of mine to do a daily vlog. And the reason why I have not gone that way is because I'm not doing YouTube full time. I have other endeavors, money making, things that I do to make money in other ways, because I don't make a lot off YouTube. What did you ask? I almost went somewhere totally different.
The schedule.
The schedule. Yeah. At the very least, I do one a week, and I eventually want to get to daily vlogs. But you also have to remember that it's creating consistent content, and you can do it once a week, you can do it twice a week. Normally, I'll do, bare minimum for me is once a week, but I try to do two or three times a week, just on YouTube. Now, when you start creating, a following, it is very essential for you to be on more than one platform. And so I'm pretty adamant about YouTube and Instagram right now. personally. And it's just creating more content and different and a different variety of styles so that, you know, I've had people look at my YouTube channel now. And then like, you know, you got an Instagram. I'll check that out. And then people on my Instagram like, oh, you got a YouTube channel. Well, I want to check that out because I like your Instagram content. So it goes both ways. But having consistent content on both is majorly beneficial.
Have you done much in terms of trying to optimize your video titles for best search engine results, or do you kind of just do what makes the most sense to you and sort of let the results play itself out?
So there's been a couple videos that I've watched about that, and one of them is what actually works so I've been told, and I've been doing it for the longest time, and I guess to find out if it really works, I should stop doing it, but I just keep on doing it, is when you create the video file on your computer, the same name that you name your video file should be the same thing that you use the name of the whatever the title of your video is going to be on YouTube, because the two of the biggest things that matter, on YouTube is title and thumbnail. If you don't have an appealing title or thumbnail, nobody's going to even click on your video to see it. And so if you don't have an emotionally engaging title and thumbnail, then nobody's going to click on your video anyway. So when you get those two things figured out, then name the file, the actual file, what you're going to name your video on YouTube. When you upload it, obviously use that name, and then say that name in the description box as like a first sentence to something, and then also in the tag section, write that name in there as well. And so if anyone were to search that name, then it would increase your chances of your video being the one that shows up.
That makes a lot of sense. You want to get the title, the idea behind it, in every slot that you can in YouTube's kind of system.
Yeah. Yeah, and you also want to word it in as many different ways as you can. And I mean, I'll go crazy on the tags before I upload a video. My series on the philosophy of truth, what I'm doing right now, is it's like I type in the philosophy of truth, and then I'll type in the problem of truth, and then I'll just type in truth philosophy. Then I'll type in philosophy. Then I'll say truth, and what is truth, and what is not truth? And like, I'll just type in as many variations as YouTube will allow me to write in, and which also very much increases your chances of being seen.
For something like what we're doing now, I imagine that a lot of the principles would apply to podcasting as well, though not in the same exact way. Like, what would you title something like this? I'm just interviewing you, asking you about how to set up a YouTube channel, how to do it well. How do you make a title out of something that can sound pretty standard?
Yeah. So, the three things that you want to keep in mind are the title, the thumbnail, and the hook. Like, as soon as which the hook is the first 5 to 15 seconds of the video, the episode, the podcast, whatever it is that as soon as it starts, like, okay, say the title and thumbnail works, then as soon as they click on it, you got to capture attention within the first five, you know, if it's a video, 5 seconds, if it's a podcast, probably 10 seconds. But that's what you got to capture attention. So you really want to make sure that your title, thumbnail, and first 10 to 15 seconds are very emotionally engaging in some way, whether that be triggering excitement, triggering awe, triggering curiosity, triggering interest, whatever that may be. For something like this, that would be just how to set up a YouTube channel. You could go at it a number of ways. Some people go crazy with this, and it turns into just straight up clickbait.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously you want to remain as truthful as possible without doing clickbait. So I'll just go the clickbait route just for examples. It's like how to start a hit YouTube channel
The best way to start a YouTube channel in August of 2019.
Or something like this secret will teach you how to create a epic YouTube or like a YouTube channel with millions of followers, or this secret, you know, just like pulling people in a way where it's like, oh, it's a secret. Well, I want to know the secret. Or it's like,
think of what is the most outlandish but true promise that you can keep and make that your title. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, on my YouTube channel, if you go and look at some of the video titles, like one of them is, I never thought I would say this before, but I don't believe in God. And it was like, everyone on my channel thought I believed in God. And so it was a shock. And they were like, what? And I got like 1,000 views within an hour, which to my YouTube channel is great. And it was shocking. And then there's other videos that I have put out. One of the first vlogs that I did that became super popular, was how to completely overcome depression. And it was probably the combination of that title and the thumbnail that did it. And then I have things like, I refuse to believe in a God that I can't experience. And so obviously that's going to trigger, you know, either atheists or Christians in that sense of, oh, well, I agree, or, oh, well, I very much disagree. And, you know, so, and it can be both ways. It can be a crazy statement that it's like people like really agree with it, or it's so crazy that they're like, oh man, I got to see this. I got to click on it because it sounds that insane. And obviously like you don't want to do clickbait, obviously, but then you just want to make sure that your energy and personality line up with it as well. Because if you're, you know, if you make a title or thumbnail or something that's insane, that's like, you know, this is the secret to the universe and you will know God after, you know, something wild like that, like your personality needs to be able to reflect that, like whether it or like even it's a hilarious video, like a Logan Paul video, you know, just look at his titles and thumbnails and you're like, oh man, this ought to be crazy. And then you see him and his personality and you're like, yeah, this dude's crazy. And so it's a very, content creating is a very emotionally engaging thing. That's like 101 of content creation, being able to trigger other people's emotions, especially the crowd that you want to go for. Triggering an emotional response is
And I like your point about, you know, we need congruity in it. So if you're title is in all caps, you better be coming out of the gate with a lot of energy. But if you're using words that suggest a lot of reflection, it'd be weird to have somebody screaming at you the moment you click it. So it's being authentic to the title. And also, it sounds like you're also saying that, like, be willing to kind of what you said earlier, you know, you have to believe in yourself to some extent that what you're saying is valuable. Be willing to put a bold title on a bold video if you really think that it is good information for people to be taking in.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's funny how many hypocritical or fake people are in the world, but everyone will know if someone is being fake on film. Everyone will know, like, whether they are legit and they're speaking from the heart and they're being real, or if they're just not doing that at all, to say the least. And so it's like believing in yourself and believing what you're talking on, what you're speaking on is huge. And it, like, you know, it took me time with my YouTube channel, and it took me time, not because I didn't believe in myself really, but just because, I was still figuring out how to best, express myself, like what content should I create that is totally me? Because if you're becoming a content creator in any way, you're wanting to do it because you're wanting to get out of a 9-to-5 job. You're wanting to not have the normal, you know, life, so to speak, that everyone else has. You want something more. And so you want to enjoy it. And so if you're creating content consistently that you're like, man, this is so draining, I don't enjoy this at all, then it's probably not the content that you should be creating, and you should probably go a different route.
When was the moment for you that you kind of knew that vlogging was kind of, at least for now, going to be your main thing?
Yeah, I think it's like gonna continue to be my main thing. It was really when I realized, like, on your other podcast that you have that I was on, me and you talked about speaking in public speaking and how I'm just the type of guy that, if I have a thought, that I can think about it and then I can express it and just tell people how I'm thinking about it. And I can expound on that thought and I can just like run crazy with just a single thought. And when I realized that that's basically in a sense what vlogging is, I was like, oh my gosh, this just comes so naturally and easy to me
Got it.
that all I have to do is have some sort of thought and I just hit record and then I don't really have to write anything out or pre-plan. I just hit record and make sure two things. I make sure that I talk about the thought and I have a conclusion, and and something to like explain why I'm talking about it, like why this is necessary to talk about my thought on it and my conclusion on it. And I just make sure that I cover those three things and then I'm done. I'm like, that's so easy. And I feel like I'm communicating something that I feel is worth it, that I feel like what I say, because I believe that, the things that I say, that there's going to be someone somewhere in the world that is going to see what I'm saying eye to eye, and then they're going to understand it, and it's going to make them think, or it's going to inspire them or motivate them. And that inspires and motivates me. And so when I started doing that, then I realized, oh wow, like this is what I need to be doing. And it's different for everybody else because some people aren't like that. And some people are just like, it's so easy for me to learn a song in a day and create a cover. And I just feel so free and at ease doing
My
that. Or
brother is
it's
like
so
that.
easy. Yeah. Or it's so easy to like just have a straight up, podcast conversation with someone and, be doing it for 2 or 3 hours, and it's so easy for me to do that because I love having conversations with people. It's just the thing that you realize is like makes you come alive and it comes with ease. It still takes work, no doubt, but when it comes to you with a sense of ease that you're like, I feel like I can do this every day, all day. Like this is just a ton of fun. Again, it takes work, but when you realize that this is me being able to be completely myself, then that's how you know that you're making the right content.
That makes a lot of sense. So just double down on what you find to be easy. And just processing this for myself right now, what I've realized is when I've made a podcast where it's not an interview, I really struggled when I was trying to do it your way of just sitting down and riffing. But when I thought about it in terms of, well, let me just write up an outline and then I can riff off of that outline. Writing outlines is super easy for me. I can write an outline to a podcast episode in like 10 minutes, and then I can go on that for 30 to 45 and just realize, okay, what's easy for you and make that the foundation of what you're doing. That's really helpful.
Yeah. And the only way you're going to figure that out is by creating more content.
Yep.
And I love everything Gary Vaynerchuk wise. And it's something that I constantly see him hear him saying is the consistent problem with so many people that are content creators or want to be content creators is that they're not creating enough content.
Yep.
They're just not creating enough content. And I completely agree. And I completely find myself coming back to that point of like, wow, like I need to, even though I'm coming out with 1 to 3 videos a week, I'm like, I still need to be making more content because every single video I learn something new. Every single video I come at it differently. Every single video, it's just constantly creating that content allows you to find what's easy for you, allows you to, oh, this works, oh, this doesn't, so it's just so important to just keep on creating regardless.
That's awesome. So we covered a decent amount of the psychology of it. As far as the tactics, going back to that for a second, you mentioned three, and it's kind of the three initial eye-catching moments of someone sees the thumbnail, they read the title, they click on the title, then there's the hook. We talked about the title. Could you share a little bit more about the thumbnail and the hook?
Yeah, so the thumbnail I think is even more important and needs to be even more emotionally engaging, because a lot of obviously a lot of people read and a lot of people can read the titles, but typically the first thing you see is the thumbnail. And so what you want to make sure is, a lot of people on YouTube make a mistake that they're like, okay, so in order for people to see the thumbnail, I got to be so crazy insane. You know, I got to put the biggest letters, the biggest words, my face, you know, mouth wide open and just like screaming or yelling or something. Guilty. I've done that. And it's not always the case. The thumbnails that catch on the most, the thumbnails to some of the most popular videos on YouTube are so incredibly simple. It's ridiculous. And it's so, they're so incredibly simple that it's just them standing there with a look on their face, like the look that expresses what the video is about.
I've noticed that about yours. Like when, I think it was your one about, I don't believe in God, you look just kind of like there's a dramatic filter on it, I think. And you kind of look distraught.
Yeah.
And I actually did find that very engaging. Like, man, he cares about the fact that he doesn't believe in God anymore. And yeah.
Yep.
That's helpful.
Yeah. And so that's definitely what I try to do. And that's what I've noticed other people have done in their vlogs, whether it be something crazy exciting or like even vlogs that's titled like, I cannot believe this just happened, like, you know, which is very open-ended. And that's, even though that might sound like a good title, it's actually a terrible title because it's super general and you want to be super specific with titles. So like, I can't believe this just happened, my Tesla blew up, or you know, something like that, you know, that's just specific. That would be a much better title. But just having like, say that was the video, I can't believe this just happened, but my Tesla blew up. Then a fantastic thumbnail would be like on one side of the picture, having your facial expression, whether that be like screaming or pulling your hair out or just like jaw dropped. And then the other half of the picture, vaguely seeing a like car on fire or something like that. And so you're like, oh man, like this dude got messed up and his car actually blew up. And so it like makes you want to click that video because you see like a snippet of like, oh man, this is what's about to take place. And so when you create a thumbnail that's a lot more emotionally engaging, then chances are people will click on it a lot faster, a lot more.
And do you use Canva or Photoshop, or what do you use to put that together?
I use Canva for a lot of things, but the app that I use on my phone that I make all of my thumbnails on is called Snapseed, and I'm pretty sure it's just Google's photo editing phone software, but I absolutely love it. It's my favorite photo editing app. That's where I edit all my Instagram photos, all of my thumbnails, everything is on that app. I love all of the editing features in that. It has this portrait feature, or what's it called? It's called, yeah, portrait feature. And so basically if there's a picture of your face on there and you click the portrait, it'll specifically highlight your face. It'll create more white in your eyes to make your eyes pop, and it'll smooth out your skin. And so it makes it look a lot simpler, and you're able to capture a lot more of the emotion in it. And so I really like a lot of the things on that app.
That's cool.
To use.
And then what about the hook? Do you take a highlight from within the video and put that to the beginning, or do you make a separate hook, or how do you usually do it?
So that's what I've done in the past. Like the part of the video that could be said to be the most controversial, I'll put that at the beginning, and then sometimes I'll leave like a hook a cliffhanger. I'll leave a cliffhanger there, like I don't know, one of my videos has, you know, the biggest problem that I see in the church is, and then boom, like go to the philosophical misfit, and then I start the vlog. That can work. I'm actually changing how I do things more and more, because more so the videos that are coming out that are going viral, that are hitting millions of views, I've noticed. So let me back up. The reason why I did my hooks the way that I did was because I saw a lot of the videos that I liked doing the hooks the same sort of way. And it was working for them. And so I was like, okay, it must work for me. But not necessarily, because I do a vlog. And so with vlogs, especially if you're doing a vlog that's not like a travel vlog where you're traveling out, you know, through the world, or you're going on a walk every single day. If it's just a vlog like me, where it's me just talking, sitting in my room, then yeah, people will listen to the hook, you know, if they're that interested in what the thumbnail and title said, and then it can grab their attention, which it has. You know, I have followers on my YouTube channel just based off that. But what I'm finding more and more that works is showing personality right off the bat.
Oh, gotcha.
Is showing who you are right off the bat. And I've noticed like the videos, the vlogs that are going viral is like, as soon as you click on the video, as soon as you're interested in it, the thumbnail got you, the title got you, you click on the video, you immediately see who they are in the first 5 seconds. And you're like, I love this person. I'm going to keep watching the rest of this vlog. Now, obviously that works sometimes. That's not always the case with me. I add in a little bit of humor here and there in my vlogs, just because I talk about such deep topics and I need to, you know, come up for air every once in a while. But so there are, again, you know, just be aware of the video that you're making, the content you're creating. It's not, you know, there might be different hooks that are much better, where say the whole purpose of a video is like, you know, I don't know why this keeps coming to mind, but I'll just use it again. It's like, today I'm going to blow up my Tesla. Like, and so the beginning, the hook of the video could be the 5 or 10 seconds right before the car blows up. And then, you know, it cuts to, you know, the beginning of the video. Yeah. And then it's like, oh man, this guy's actually going to do it. This is where it's going to take place. And then at the very end of the video, because you want to make sure that people watch the whole thing. So then obviously at the end of the video, the car would blow up. You wouldn't – like for that kind of video, it wouldn't make much sense if people saw your personality in the first 5 seconds. They'd be like, what is this? I thought this was a video of a car blowing up. Why is this dude, you know, just being, you know, funny? So yeah, it depends on the video. But yeah, I think that answers your question.
One more question that I would have for you about YouTube is how, if someone has a number of different passions, what would you recommend for which one they should start with, which one they should focus on, whether they should make multiple YouTube channels or just stick to one? So for example, I'm thinking of making YouTube channels to supplement what I'm doing with my two podcasts. And I'm wondering whether it might be worth trying to combine those two interests of self-development and theology, or if I should just make two separate ones. What are your kind of thoughts on that?
So I would ask yourself this question. How many theological podcasts are there? You know.
A decent amount.
A decent amount. How many self-development, what would you call this podcast?
Yeah, self-development.
Self-development podcasts are there?
A decent amount.
You know, there's a decent amount. So how many theological podcasts that have a twist of self-development podcasts are there?
Probably zero.
So if you did it right, and if you found out the right format, it's something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah.
And if there's an audience for it, if there's interest in it, then I think that it could really work. Again, you have to weigh the odds. You know, how many people are interested in theology? You know, a good amount. How many people are interested in self-development? A good amount. How would you tie the two together to be both entertaining and educational? You know, and that's all in the format. I think that format sounds very interesting, but I think that you would just have to have the format set up correctly to where the two would be able to coexist. You know what I mean?
And I guess one of the things that I'm worried about is I feel like if I labeled it as a self-development podcast for Christians or something like that, it would almost put off a lot of just regular folks who do want to grow, but they assume that I'm going to be, you know, quoting a Bible verse every other second or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So maybe something to do would be maybe less theological and more just kind of like self-development for deep thinkers. Thinking deeply about, you know, kind of leaving it open-ended more. Maybe something like what I do, but it would be a lot more specific to self-development in a way of like this. And I'm just coming up with this on the top of my head. This might be totally, you know, just it might not work, but this is just what I'm thinking right now. You know, just reaching out to that crowd or getting that crowd of deep thinkers that aren't necessarily pursuing self-development, but it's almost like your podcast gives them a reason to, gives them a reason why, and gives them a place to go and more things to think about. And that could be more things to think about in terms of like how being spiritual can help you self-develop. How, you know, whether even if you don't believe in God, how knowing theology can help in life. So, you know, that those things sound different to me. That sounds like a twist that could be interesting to many people. But, you know, the only way to find out is to create the content and see what happens.
And I guess one thing I could try is just, you know, this is one of the points you mentioned earlier. I don't have to, you know, fully commit to that. But what I could do is just start putting out a lot of more spiritual topics into the self-development podcast and see if I just get some feedback on that. And then also vice versa with the theology one, see how people who listen to that respond to more self-development style content. And if it might be worth merging the two in the future, or kind of keeping one as this is like the very explicitly Christian podcast, and then this is my self-development podcast where we talk about spirituality a little more broadly and self-development. So that's some helpful stuff to think about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I guess something else to think about is, like I was talking about earlier, is, you know, how many theological podcasts there are, how many self-development podcasts there are, and how many theological self-development podcasts there are. And you were like, you know, probably zero. And I'm like, and the thought I just had, well, why is there zero? So is there zero because nobody's thought about it, or is there zero because it's a bad idea?
Yeah, that's the hard thing. I don't know.
Again, the only way to find out is to create that content. It'd be interesting to see, though, if you created a format that worked out of that, because I think if it worked, it would be very interesting. I'm not sure how it would work. You know, that's for you to figure out. But if it did work, you know, then it is something that nobody's thought of, and that it's a gold mine. But if not, then it might not be a good idea.
That's helpful. That's helpful. Cool. Any last thoughts about something that you just want people who are interested in starting a YouTube channel to know?
Yes. Valuing yourself is, I mean, I don't even know how big of a, I mean, I would say 99% of the content you create has to be out of a place of valuing yourself and valuing the words and the content that you create. I mean, if you don't believe in yourself, if you don't believe in the content that you're creating, that people are going to want to watch it, and that, you know, like, obviously there are going to be moments of doubt. I still have those moments all the time of doubt. But I still have a founding belief that the things that I have to say, could change the world. And I believe that. That's a really deep belief that I have ingrained in me, is that I'm like, yeah, I know my videos, you know, some of them have thousands of views. Some of them have only hundreds. But I think that that'll change. And I think it's just a moment of me needing to be, I'm not yet discovered, you know, like in my head, I'm a musician, I'm an actor. And so in my head, I'm a Grammy award winning artist. I'm an Oscar winning actor. Have I won either of those things? No, not even close. But that's how I see myself. Not in like a prideful way, but in a way of like, this is who I am. And so I'm going to keep working hard at these things until other people see that too. Like it's not just a belief I have in my head, but it's actually reality. And that takes work. But I would never see those things if I never valued myself. And so, you know, you might be like the best podcaster ever, you know, and you got to believe that. If you never believe that, then you're never going to be on top of the podcast game.
Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day who's someone that I respect in business. He has several different online courses, and he was considering coming on my podcast to promote a course that he did. And he's going to do it in the future. It just hasn't worked out for now. But he was talking to me about whether I'm too broad with my the self-development podcast. And he might be right. This is something I'm still wrestling through. But in my head, I really genuinely believe that one day in the next 5 years, maybe the next 10 years, this will be up there with Gary Vaynerchuk, Tony Robbins, with Tim Ferriss, as far as go-to podcasts for people who want to make their lives better. And I know that I am a million miles away from that. But when he said that, it sounded like he was saying, oh, just settle for something small and niche. Yep. That you can do. It's like, no, you don't realize, like, yeah, I'm trying to do something great here. And I think that mentality needs to be there. I mean, if you're just trying to do something small and niche, you can do that too. Like, that's great in its own way. But just kind of know what it is that you're shooting for.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on this show. Again, go to YouTube, search for The Philosophical Misfit, check out his videos, and also tune in to his on Friday nights. Is that 5 p.m. Eastern time?
6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, yeah.
He does live Ask Me Anythings, and it's a great way to kind of get a feel for his community and for the stuff that he talks about. So yeah, check it out. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Self-Development Podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review and rating so others can find it as well.